Okay, welcome back to me. It's in Parshas B'Shalach, Tavshin Ayin Ches. And Baruch Hashem, as I promised you in the shir before we left, because last year was Parshas Ve'era, that we're going to the Aguda Yerushalayim Yarchei Kala, the 18th year, and we gave a little bit of the history of the Yarchei Kala. And so I went, and I said, if I hear anything good, I'll share it with you. And I heard something wonderful that I liked very much. And this was the last day. It was a Yid by the name of Rabbi Dendorovich. He's a Rosh Shiv in the Ger and Masifta in Eretz Yisrael, and an Englishman. So he comes with the full Ger Lavush with a great English accent. And he gave a beautiful Dvar Torah. So let's do a few psukim in our parsha, and then we'll ask a question. Our parsha, we'll say over what he says, and we'll come back to answer the question in our parsha. So he comes to this exciting moment that the Yidden have been waiting for hundreds of years, that they're finally going out, and then Paro sends them out. And Hashem does not send them by way of the Plishtim, Kikarvu, because it's nearby, and we'll say it does the Kenan Baltaisis, which takes the word Kikarvu and gives it a different spin. Ki Amr Lakim, Hashem says, Peninachim Ma'am Birais Muhammad. They'll see Milchama, Rishav Mitzrayim, and they'll go back to Mitzrayim. Now it's interesting just to say, who are we talking about? What Jews are we talking about that are going to run back to Mitzrayim? We're not talking about just anybody. Remember how many Yidden came out of Mitzrayim? 1/5. It means these were the Choshuva, these were the top 20%. And even there, Hashem said, I'm worried that they'll go back to Mitzrayim. Vayasev Elokim, and he turns them derech Amidbar to the Midbar Yamsuf. Chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael meretz Yisrael. They go up armed, and also chamushim. Chazal tells us is chamishim. Vayikav Moshe atzmas Yosef, and he takes atzmas Yosef ki yashbea hishbia as b'nei Yisrael lemor. And we go on, and then it says in the next beginning of the next parak, we know that Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that I've hardened Paro's heart, and he's going to chase after you. In the next parak, in Pasuk Dal, it says, that means, not only was Vayachbe Leib Paro, not only did Hashem take Paro and harden his heart so he could get through the 10 Makkas, but he did another hardening of the heart. He hardened his heart that what? That he should go and chase the Bnei Yisrael. So I had a kasha on this bothers me. You know, leave him alone. He went through 10 makas. They're already tishmetered. Who knows? I mean, the economy is wrecked. The people are ruined. Everything is... The Bechorim all died. And by the way, Rav Sham Shem Horus tells us that you have to know what a Bechor was in Mitzrayim. It's not just the eldest son. But the Bechorim were the Kohanim. They were the ones who did all the sacrificing to the Avodah Zarah. They were the leaders. So it's like Lahavdil, if you would say not the 100 people were killed, but let's say the whole Senate was wiped out, Chas v'Shalom, you know. But Lahavdil, the most Choshuva people were wiped out. So when you had the Makas Becharis, it wasn't just the oldest son. These were the Choshuvim of the nation, and they were all killed out. So we went through all of this. I'm wondering, like, what was the purpose of muching them? In other words, what was accomplished by taking Paro and putting him through some more? So one answer could be the Biza Sayom, because this way they got as we'll talk about soon, they got the Jews got the Biza Sayom. Perhaps we can say something else. So here's what I'd like to share with you what he said. And to do that, we have to go back to a Pasuk in last week's Parsha. The Pasuk, if you take a look in page 180 in the Chumash, it's Perik Yud Aleph Pasuk Beis. Is there any Yud Chumash? Okay. Dabra no ba'ozne ha'om. This famous pasuk, Hashem tells Moshe, speak to the nation. And everybody should borrow from their neighbors, every man and every woman should borrow from their neighbors. Right? It's interesting, it says, Ish meis re'eyo v'isha meis re'usa. Vaistois, that they were upgehitin on sneas, that and they, the man asked the man and the woman asked the woman. And they went klei chesu klei zav nishabaru v'itan Hashem es chein ha'om be'eni ha'mitzrayim, and you will have chein ha'om. That means the grace of the nation will be in their eyes, and they'll give you. Okay, and you're going to get all these things, and also gam v'yishmaishu gadol miyayim be'eretz Mitzrayim. So there's a very, very, very famous Rashi on this pasuk. The Rashi tells us, we know the Rashi. What did the pasuk say? The pasuk says that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, please talk to the Bnei Yisrael, and they should borrow money, they should borrow gold and silver from their neighbors. Why? Why? Why does Hashem say this? So Rashi tells us, interesting, Eino loshen bakosha. It says, Daber no. Please do it. Doesn't say Daber, like Vedav Hashem Moshelem, or tell them this. Daber no means Hashem saying, I'm asking you a favor. So if you remember, we once spoke over in the Oznayim L'Torah that said very beautifully, why did Kadosh Baruch have to ask them? I don't know. When somebody says to me, can you lend me $100? He says, please. When he said, I'd like to give you $100, he doesn't say, please. He knows I'm going to take. I don't want. Why would they not want the Klei Chesed, please? Why would they not want it? Zokti Oznayim L'Torah, the Zalmitz Ratzin, this was the same machlokes that happened after the Holocaust. There were people who said when they came out Wiedergutmachen that the Germans were going to pay reparations, which whatever that means, toward, you know, to give some of the money back, the billions and trillions of dollars they looted from the Yidden, and they were going to give some of it back. There were two camps in Klal Yisrael. One said we should take every penny from them. Those were Rishayim, Yamach Shemam, we should take every penny. And the other one said, I don't want their blood money. I don't want a penny. I don't want it. So there was a big machlokes what they should do. As a matter of fact, I still remember when I had a lot to do with this at one time for the Aguda, that we used to get calls from people that would say, I never took money because I didn't want to, but now I'm 93 years old and I don't have money and I have no choice. Can you help me get it? And that was what we used to have. So that's what he says. So that's why, says Rav Zalman Sarasa, he says, Dabra, no. That's why he used the lashon of please, would you? But Rashi says, another reason, it's a lashon of bakosha. He asked them nicely. Why? Listen to this. And this we're going to ask three questions. Shall a yomer oisa tzaddik Avram, that the tzaddik Avram should not say the avdu v'ino some kiyam, that you when you told me Hashem by the bris ben Absarim that they're going to serve them for, and they're going to be servants to them, that you did. But you didn't do Achakein Yotzer B'chush Gadol. That you didn't do. So that's what it says. So he says the Mefarshim will ask the following three questions. One, if Hashem wanted them to have Klei Kesel, Klei Zov, was it because Avram asked? And if Avram hadn't asked, he wouldn't have done it? So what does it mean? Hashem did it because Avram, Shal Yom Reis Hatzak, Avram shouldn't have Tainas on. And two, Avram Avinu's tiny is it's not Avram Avinu's style. You know, Avram Avinu didn't talk like that. Shali armor is a tzaddik. You shouldn't have tainas on me. Avram didn't have tainas. You saw that Avram never said a word. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu even got in trouble, right, when he said, oh, you made it worse. And Hashem said, oh, what about my Avram, my Yitzhak, my Yaakov? They didn't complain. You complaining? So Avram didn't. So what does it mean? What was this complaint of Avram? It wasn't Avram's style to complain. And also, very interesting, Rashi uses a lashon, Oysa Tzaddik, this Tzaddik. Why do we call him a Tzaddik? We know he's a Tzaddik. In the Math, there's a whole kasha, they ask, why by Noiv does it say Noiv he's a Tzaddik? And by Rama it doesn't say he's a Tzaddik. So why did Rashi say he's a Tzaddik? The Torah didn't say he's a Tzaddik. Obviously, he didn't have to say it. You know, some people are such Tzaddik, we don't have to say he's a Tzaddik, because everybody knows he's a Tzaddik. If I'll say the Tzaddik said, they'll say, what do you mean? You have to tell me he's a Tzaddik? I know he's a Tzaddik. You know, so why did we call him a tzaddik? That's one, two or three questions right there. And the final question, this is a hard question. What did we say that we want you to go out with rechush gadol? So how much is the clay kess of the clay zav that they had? However it's worth, but they got much more than this a week later. Do you know where they got? They got, it's something called biza sayon. That after they went through the Yam Suf, it says that the Egyptians, Pharaoh had given all the money to the Egyptians, so they took it in their chariots, and because he was going to pay them, and there was huge wealth sitting on the side, and the Yidden came out of the Yam Suf, and all they had to do was scoop it up, and they had all sorts. They had tremendous wealth, and it says that every Jew had 90 donkeys to carry it. Where they got the 90 donkeys, I don't know, but they had 90 donkeys to carry it. There was that much. There was so much. So why did Hashem do this whole thing to make Avram Avinu happy by giving Rechush Gadol now? Why didn't you wait a week and give him a bigger Rechush Gadol? You ever hear this question? Before Shmuel asked this question, it's a very good question. You ever thought about it? Why didn't we wait a week? Why didn't we just say, next week we'll give you Rechush Gadol? Why didn't you do the Rechush Gadol now and for Karen, make them, you know, go and ask and all this stuff? So he tells a story like this. He says, we spoke at our last, I guess we're into Rabbanu Pshitzchah, another Rabbanu Pshitzchah story. We said last time the story with him walking along the side of the river. Remember, give Shikha Grisam Livyosan. That was our last story with him. So here's another story. When Rabbanu became Rebbe, so a lot of the people, a lot of his Talmidim, left their hometowns and went to stay by him for a few weeks. Went to stay by him that he should they should learn by him. So the shvers of these young men were very unhappy. They were supporting. Remember, in those days, the shver supported you. And they said, they're going away for a month from the house. You know, why are they going? So they said, because we're going to learn Musa, we're going to learn Torah by the Rebbe. So he said, you need to go to Rabbanim to learn Torah? We have all sorts of sfarim here in the house. We'll give you any sefer you want. I'll give you, want a Mesilas Yesharim, give a Mesilas Yesharim. You want a Shari Tshuva, we've got a Shari Tshuva. You can learn all the Torah here. Why do you have to go schlep over there? So a few of the Zakenim got together, I guess they got up the nerve, and they went to Rabbanim to ask him. They say, you know, why do you have to go take all of the young men away from the different towns? They're coming from all over. They're flocking to hear you. Why can't they just learn at home? So he told him, he says, you know, when I was, before he became Rebbe, we said last name was a pharmacist. So he says, when I was a pharmacist, so there were two doctors that I had shaychus with. There were two specific doctors he wanted to mention. So they went to the same university, they had the same training, they had the same skill set, everything was very similar. He says, but one, every patient that he dealt with, some of that patient died. And the other doctor, every patient he dealt with, the patient lived. He says, so I thought to myself, this is very strange. They're both good doctors. They both have similar skills. They have a similar education. Why would one doctor be so successful and the other doctor not be able to be so successful? So he looked into it. And he says the first doctor, the one who had the Malach HaMavis reputation, he said that he was a very nice person. He was a geschmacka person. And when people would come to him, they'd say, can you come to our house? We have somebody sick. So you say, $200. So you say, oy, $200, too much money, we can't afford it. So you say, okay, $100. So they say, oy, we can't afford it, it's too much money, can't do it. So you say, okay, you know what, I have Rachmanis, I'll come to you. So you come to them, he write out a prescription with Chayla, and they take the prescription to the pharmacist. And the pharmacist would say, the prescription is $50. We have no money, we can't pay that. Okay, maybe it'll get better. Week goes by, a couple weeks go by, and the patient's getting worse. So they go back to the doctor.
Didn't get the medicine.
They go back to that. They didn't tell them that they didn't get the medicine. They just say the patient's getting worse. He says, I don't know. The first medicine is good medicine. Must be it's not strong enough. Let me enter a stronger medicine. So he says he'd write a stronger medicine, and they go to the pharmacy, and the pharmacy says it's $100. Stronger medicine. So they say, we couldn't pay 50. We don't have money for 100. All right, let's see what happens. He says to himself, there's Nebuchadnezzar Leviah. The patient doesn't make it. He says, the second doctor, he says, he was a tough nut. He wasn't giving up anything. He said, they came into him, he said, $200. They say, we don't have the money. He'd say, okay, that's your problem. Go to, you know, I'm not treating. You don't pay? No tiki, no washi. I don't pay. You can't do it. So they would go and they would do it. So he'd give them a thing for the pharmacy for $50. So he says, they already paid $200. They already invested in it. So the $200, don't pay the $50. So he says, what's the difference between these two people, these two doctors? He says, in one, the people were invested. They knew they had to pay. I'm sorry, the first one, they didn't have to pay. First one, they were not invested. They didn't have to pay, so it didn't mean anything to them. So they weren't bechunuk to pay money the first time. So they came to the pharmacy and paid the second time. The second one, they were already bechunuk and paid. Once they're mechunach in pain, they're used to pain, they paid the second time also. He says, you know, if you don't, I remember I used to have a Chavrusa program here in Agoda. We used to have it's called the Chavrusa matching program. It was even before Partners in Torah. We were like one of the originals way back when. We used to make Pabarsha with tremendous hatzlacha. But I remember we used to have sometimes people come to us and need a tutor for their children, and they'd say they can't pay. So I'd say, okay, a tutor's $25, whatever it was in those days, and I'd say, but do me a favor, pay $5, pay $10, pay something. I guarantee you, if you pay nothing, you'll get nothing. You'll get it. The minute that person, the tutor, has a chasana, they'll go to the chasana. The minute they feel a little bit, you'll see it's not going to last. Give them $5 and they'll do it. As a matter of fact, they used to have at a supermarket, they used to have that you had these, the supermarket card, they'd have a chain and you give 25 cents, a quarter, you get your money back. So for 25 cents, people were willing to return a $100 cart because they stopped it. Maybe 25 cents wasn't enough. But the idea being, what Rabbunim was saying is that if you don't put anything into it, you get nothing out of it. If they stayed at home, they didn't get anything out of it. They'll just be at home. If they are matriach themselves, they come to Pshiska, which was a small town, and they have to go through the blot on the roads, they have the muddy roads, and they have to find themselves a place to stay, and they have to find themselves a place in the base medrash, and they have to munch themselves ice to try and hang from the rafters to be able to hear. They're invested. They're going to listen. They paid for this. They're going to make sure that they get maximum benefit. So he says to stay at home, it doesn't work. And I think this is so true today, by the way, because there's lots of times that we find that people don't go to a shir because they can watch it online. You know, I'm not saying somebody can't get to a shir that they're not part of. But if sometimes we had, even at the convention, we had the Motzai Shabbos session, so somebody didn't come. So we said, where were you? He said, oh, I watched the whole session. I said, you did? Where? I was in my room. He says, you didn't get out of it what the other people got out of it. They had to come down. They had to be with among people. They had to work hard. They listened. You probably walked around the room, didn't pay any attention. Didn't you? Probably. So how much we put into Sain Sed Rabbunim is how much we get out of something. So listen to what he said. So beautiful now. Now we go back to our kasha. So we said, why did Kadosh Baruch Hu give the Rechush Gadol that it should be this week and it should be Klei Kesef Klei Zohav? Why did he wait next week for Bizus Hayom and with much more money? And the answer is Klei Kesef Klei Zohav they have to work for. Can you imagine what it was like going over to a Mitzri who had been your overlord for all those years? And you go, you say, excuse me, Mr. Mitzri, you know, I was told I'm supposed to borrow Klei Kesef Klei Zohav. You're probably shaking like a lulav. I mean, you're going to him. He's not in the Makas, but you still, there's still a, you know, it's still a reverence there. It's scary. But they had to do it, and they did it. And they were matriyas themselves to ask for Klei Kesef Klei Zohav. They were invested. That's Rechush Gadol. That's what Avraham Avinu was talking about. That's something that he accomplished. A week later, they got Bizus Hayom. Bizus Hayom was just laying on the side of the road. All you had to do was pick it up, and you're a rich man. That didn't have any investment in it. That couldn't accomplish the same thing. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Avraham Avinu, ask for Rechush Gadol, this is Rechush Gadol. You have to work for it. You're going to get something out of it. You're going to appreciate it. It's going to mean something to you. Every dollar will mean something to you. You're going to use it properly. That's Rechush Gadol. To get something which is free, that's not the same. So you might be more money, but it's not the same. You won't gain from it. So it's a beautiful answer to show that how much you get from something, how much you invest in something, is how much you get out of something. And if you don't put it in, you'll never get it out. And then he said a second nekuda in this. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk says, Naguf v'rafu. He didn't say where the pasuk is. I apologize in time to find it. Naguf v'rafu means, the Medrash says, that the Makas were Naguf v'rafu. There was a plague. A Naguf means a straf, a plague. V'rafu and healing. What does it mean, a straf and a healing? Says the Medrash, that by every Makas that was given to the Yidden, to the Mitzrayim, the Yidden have a refuah from it. So if there's Makas Dam for the Mitzrayim, the Yidden who had blood diseases got healed from those blood diseases. If there was a skin disease for the Mitzrayim, the Shchin, and they got a skin disease, the Yidden who had skin disease got healed from it. You ever hear that's Medrash? Naga v'rafu. Naga v'rafu. Whatever the Mitzrayim got, the Yidden were healed by. It wasn't just something that the Yidden didn't get it, but they actually was something positive from them. They were able to get it. So again, so it's very tight. It's like a cousin to the first shot. But when you have pain for something, that also gives you a greater appreciation for it. It means there's a healing that comes from it. So when they had to do the Klei Chesed, Klei Zohav, and the stomach, they probably got a few claps from it. So that was Naguf. Then there was a Rafu at the end of it. But the Bizus Hayom had a Naguf, but it didn't have a Rafu, and therefore that's why Hashem wanted to give it to them at this time. We ask the second question we ask is about Avraham Avinu. Why? Because Avraham Avinu asked, and why? Because he's Isaac Tzadik. What does the Tzadik have to do with it? So we know that there's a concept of Maisa Avasim and the Banim. That whatever happens to the Avas, that's going to happen to the Banim. So there are certain experiences that the Avas had, and by the way, my Zayda in the does, we've spoken about, says goes on the Shvatim as well. So whatever experience they went through, they set the tone, they set the way. So Avraham Avinu, right? If you ever come to Parshas Vayera, what does the rabbi give a speech on? What does everyone talk about? Tachnos Zorchim. We're in our blood, right? We got genetic DNA for Tachnos Zorchim, for Chesed, from Avraham Avinu. When we want to talk about how do we stand up to the world around us and stay fast, talk about Yitzchak. We want to talk about dedication to Torah, we talk about Yaakov. We want to talk about helping another person with serious nefesh at your own cost. We talk about a Rachel, talk about Leah. You know, we're learning from the Avos. Ma'isa Avos is Simon Levon. We're learning everything from him. So Avraham Avinu said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, you told me by the Bris Ben Bsarim that you're going to put into the Klal Yisrael something that's going to help them for all the years, because the Avos are going to experience it, and that will teach the Banim how to deal with it. What was that? Now let's look back in Rashi. Shlo Yomra, I said Tzadik Avram. The Tzadik Avram said, I want to be a Tzadik and I want my kids to be Tzadikim. But to do that, you have to know how to handle situations. So what's the situation? V'avdum v'ino asam. You're going to be in poverty. So he said, you are going to put us through poverty? That's fine. Because why? Why is it a good thing? Because now we're going to teach our children how to handle it. We're going to go through a difficulty, and our children and grandchildren and all the daughters of Klal Yisrael will know how to handle it because they learned it from us. So of the vino sum kiyum behem, that you did. But you also have to give us the sign of Aisher, the sign of wealth, so we should know how to handle that as well. If you only give us ani, so Klal Yisrael will only know how to handle poverty. But what happens when they're doing okay? What happens when they're rich? Very different than the Soyin. In fact, Chazal say the Soyin of Ashiris can be greater than the Soyin of Anias. So that's beautiful pshat in the Rashi. Shalom Rosh, the Tzadik Avram. The Hashem said, you know why I'm telling them to do this? Because of the Tzadik Avram, because he wants to be a Tzadik. He wants his children to be Tzadik, and he wants to put this on. And he tells them, oh, you know, some of you came by him. You taught them how to do with poverty. That you're going to do, and you're not going to make them rich, so they should be able to teach the daughters how to be rich. Hashem says, you're right. And therefore, I'm going to give you play kesef, play zav, so you should learn how to even to be rich and how they dealt with wealth as well as they dealt with poverty. And it's a very interesting thing. We, in America, have gone through in 10 years, both nisyonos. You know, we had a recession in 2008, 10 years ago, and a lot of people, mamash, did not have money. It was a very difficult time. And there was a nisyon of ani in being able to pay your tuition, being able to buy kosher food, all these nisyonos. And now, Baruch Hashem, Al Pi Rav, of course there's still people, but there are many Ashirim now, and these Ashirim have the nisyon of Ashiris. So how do you handle it? The answer is we look back to the Avos. And we have in them from the Avos how we can handle all these things. So we have two beautiful things from this, and these are all from Sfas Emes and Kedushei Rims. But these two concepts, that question number one was, why did we wait? Why did Hashem not wait a week? Why did he tell Klei Kesef Klei Zav? The answer is because you're invested in it, and it comes with Yisurim, and you get more out of it, and the other one didn't. And why did he tell him, you gave me poverty, give me Ashiris? So we should know how to handle it as the years go by. Just finally, one other thing he said is, we know that they were the 49th degree of Tumah. And then suddenly they were not the 49th degree of Tumah. How does this work? How do you, you know, normally it takes a long time to, you know, get back from something. How do they overnight do it? So it's very interesting. He brings to the Chiddush Rim, he brought that when Hashem was machped to lay Paro, he gave Paro the ability to subdue the Yidden and to sink them. And when the Achbaras lay Paro came off, at the end, the Yidden came back to who they really were, because they really were bats and tzaddikim, and therefore they were able to come back to who they naturally were and who they naturally could be. Okay, so we have some nice things from Rav Dendorovich. Now let's go on, and we're going to say two things now, Yimitz Hashem, from the Masa Ka'or. Okay, we said in the beginning of the parasha, Vahi B'shalach Paro Es Ha'om. So we know that we're coming up to Purim, so this is a Gemara we always talk about by Purim. Ein vayihi el lashon tsar. Right? Vayihi is a lashon tsar. Says the Medrash that Paro yelled vay vay. That's why it says vayihi. He was yelling vay. Woe to me that we let the Yidden go. That's what it says. And then they say, what was he in such tsar about? So the Medrash says a mashal, and then we'll say another pshat, which is a very, very nice pshat. The Medrash says a mashal to a king who told his servant to go out and buy him a fish. It's a little bit, the mashal is a little bit, you know, it's hard to believe the king needed, you know, just buy me one fish, but okay. He told him, go buy me a fish. So the servant obviously wasn't too careful, but he brought him foiled the fish. He brought him back a piece of the fish that was not good. Have you ever smelled this rotten fish? Schmecken is good. So the king says, you know, the king flies into a rage. You know, obviously the king, how dare you? So he says, okay, I'm going to give you one of three punishments. He says, either you got to eat the fish, or you got to pay for it. I'm going to give you Malchus 100 lashes. So the guy must not have had much money, or it was a very expensive fish. So he says, I'll eat it. So he starts eating the fish. He gets about a third of the way through, and he's, you know, I don't have to describe it. He says, I can't do this. I can't. Give me the lashes. So he gives him the lashes, and he gives him the lashes. Halfway through the lashes, he's ready to die. I can't do it. I'll pay for it. And he pays for it. Says the Medrash, that's the mashal to Paro. Paro, Moshe Rabbeinu comes with Aaron, and they tell Paro, let my people go. So what does Paro say? Who's this Hashem? I don't know who he is. So what happens to him? He gets 10 makas. He still doesn't, they're still not out. So what does Hashem say? They're either going to leave and he's going to chase them. So Hashem says, give him, go get money from them. Get Biza Sayon. So his Paro says, the Medrash is that like that guy with the fish. Not only did he have not, you know, he ended up with all three punishments. He ended up with the makas. He ended up paying as well. So therefore, that's Azeh's the Moshe. But then he says another thing. He says a beautiful thing, a beautiful understanding of this Indian. So he says there was a king, also story of a king, another king, and this is a very strange story, but this is a mashal. So the king has a son that goes for a trip. The son gets lost, and there's an usher, there's this rich guy who takes the son into his mansion. So the king has no idea where the son is. He sends out his people, and they say, "Oh, he's by the gvir, by this rich guy, by the mansion." So he sends him a letter, and he says, "Please send my son back." And the guy writes back on the bottom, "You know, rejected. No, chutzpah, doesn't send my son back. He was kidnapping him, holding onto my son." So he tells his servants, "I want you to go, and I want you to burn down his." Where he keeps his sheep, his barns. Okay, so they burn it down, and the guy still doesn't give the son back. So the king says, send him another letter. He says, if you don't send him back this time, I'm going to burn down your house. Says, okay, burns down the house. Still doesn't send him back. Finally, the king says, you know, I'm going to beat up your kids. So he lets him go back. So the servants, very strange story. So the servants of the king have this rich man. And they're leading him, you know, and they take the kid and they're leading him. And the rich man's running after them, going, oy vey, oy vey, oy vey. So they turn to him and say, what are you so upset about? What's bothered you? Why'd you do this? So he said, you don't understand. How else could I get a relationship with the king? That the king should send me letters, the king should send me servants, I should have a lot to do with the king. It was wonderful. Now I'm going to lose my relationship with the king. This is like, by the way, if I had been doing this, I would have said a different mashal. A kid who sees he's not getting enough attention acts out, right? He does all sorts of destructive things. So parents should pay attention to him. So he said, Hashem, this is how I get Hashem to pay attention to me. So he says, this is what Chazal tells us. There's a pasuk. The Baal Shem Tov says that David HaMelech said, until him, kuf yotes, pasuk kuf samachal, if you want to look it up. It says, Sarim Ridafu, and you think about it, it's a funny mix of a pasuk. And everybody knows the last half of the pasuk, nobody knows the first half of the pasuk. Sarim Ridafu Nichinam. They're chasing me. Princes are chasing me for no reason. Omidvarcha Pachad Libi, and from your words, I'm scared. Sasa Noichel Imrasach Maitzi Shal Rav. I'm happy by all the things you do, like somebody finds great treasure. So how did the first half of the pasuk? Read the pasuk again. Sar medafuni, their sarm are chasing me, chinam for nothing. Umidvarcha pachad libi, and from your words I'm scared. Sasa noichan merzek, I'm so happy to talk to you. What is people chasing God that was happy to talk to him? He says that's the pshat. That we should realize that even, says the Baal Shem Tov, that even when we have Yisurim, even when we have problems, that's an opportunity for us to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's an opportunity for us to daven with Hashem. It's an opportunity to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've often said over from Rabbi Victor Miller, Zatzal, that he said if somebody has a toothache and he goes to the dentist and the dentist fixes the tooth, he lost a great opportunity. Because Hashem sent him to the toothache not to go to the dentist. Hashem toothache, so Shadam to Hashem, help me take away my pain. Help me be better. Then go to the dentist. But if he went to the dentist, he didn't daven, he lost that opportunity. So he said, that's the pshat. So David Melch says, you're sending me tsaras, okay? But on the other hand, I don't want him. But if I have him, I'm happy to talk to you. Sasa noichi al nirmasecha, kemaitze shol rav. So he says that there was two chaylim in the hospital, and a man was watching how the doctor dealt with both of them. And the first one, he says, I want you to go on a diet, and I want you to do exercise, I want you to do this and do that. And the guy's saying, oh, that's a lot, I don't know if I can do it. You got to do it, please, I beg you. The doctor says, you do it, you get better. The second chaylim, the doctor goes over and says, Mr. So-and-so, you can eat whatever you want, you can do whatever you want. So the person went to the doctor after, is right. Person goes to the doctor, yeah, and he says, what are you doing? The second guy, he seems to like better than the first guy. He says, just the opposite. The second guy gave up on. He might as well just enjoy himself. The first one, I still can hope. So when the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us Yisurim, he's like the doctor that says, there's hope for you. The Rashi, he doesn't give Yisurim to. The Rashi says, let him do whatever he wants. He's not coming up here after 120 years. I don't have to deal with him. The tzaddik, I'm worried because the tzaddik might do something. He might mess up. So I gotta give him some Yisurim. So he says, that's what David Mel says. Midvarcha pachad libi. From your words, I'm scared. But I gotta have Yisurim. Sasa noichan merzecha k'maitzei shel rav. But just the fact I can talk to Ribbono Shel Olam can deal with me, that's something that gives me great simcha. So we should realize and undertake Yisurim when things do happen to us, that it's an opportunity to daven. If we have Yisurim and we just get depressed and we just complain, then we didn't accomplish. We have an opportunity to daven, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam, hopefully we should all have our Yisurim taken away, and we should all be gezunt and shtark. So thank you very much. Okay. It's nice to be back. Thank you. Hashem. Next week we'll have Shir. Thank you. That was saying it was wonderful. Baruch Hashem, with over 500 people. Yeah, I said.